Teachers, I have four of the most important questions that we need to ask students and staff more often, especially if you find yourself having conflict with communication. I don't think it's crazy to say that students right now have a very difficult time conveying what they're really thinking or what they're really feeling. And I think that's evident when we ask student questions and they respond with things like, I don't know, or they give us a shoulder shrug, or they just stare at us. And we feel like we're not getting anywhere. And sometimes when we start probing a little bit more, they will start using the word fine. And I often say that fine is not the F word that they want to be using. Perhaps fine means I'm frustrated. Perhaps fine means no, I'm good. I'm having a fun day. I just don't want to talk. Perhaps fine is actually the key word of F you, get out of my business. What I want to unpack in this special episode are four questions that we can ask students to help the conversation flow better and to build insanely strong relationships with staff, with students, and maybe even with our own children. I am confident by the end of this episode, and once you start implementing these, you will see a significant shift in the struggles that we have when conversing with kids. And that is going to lead to deeper relationships, therefore more learning on both a curriculum level and a social and emotional level. So if that sounds like something that you and your teacher heart need right now, you're in the right place. Let's get into it.
There is awesome in every single school day. So here is the big question. How can teachers like us, who love our job, love our students, and love being a part of education, celebrate awesome even more in our classrooms and learning communities? Where can we find teaching tips and tricks? Where can we find engaging stories and motivational strategies? That is the question, and this weekly podcast is your answer. So welcome to all my teacher friends. My name is Monica Genta, and I am so excited that you are here listening to this podcast, This Teacher Life.
I want you to know that the four questions that I'm going to unpack in this episode literally work with all age groups, including adults. I absolutely think that when we want to get stronger connections with our staff and with our students, we need to have stronger communication tactics. Because what once worked simply does not anymore, especially because our students are in this era of feeling very confident and comfortable when they are behind a screen, when they are texting with friends or communicating on a Chromebook. But when we get into face-to-face communication, there has been a really big shift. So let's get into some of these questions that I use as a classroom teacher. I use these with students on a daily basis, and I have done these with elementary students, middle school students, and high school students. One of my favorite strategies that I love to use is asking the question, what is your life number right now? Now, when I say, what is your life number, I give context that I am looking for a number between 1 and 10. 10 being like, life is so good, everything is great, things are wonderful with friends, things great with family, things are great with school and sports. So I give some context. That's what a 10 is. It's literally the best. 1 is everything's a disaster. My friendships are a disaster. Things at home are a disaster. My grades are so bad. I didn't make the basketball team. That's what a 1 is. And so when I say, what is your life number? I'm talking about a scale from 1 to 10. Because oftentimes our kids are coming to us with emotions. And sometimes we misread those emotions. And we will say things like, hey, what's wrong? And when we say the words, what's wrong, they're coming from a loving place. We want to figure out what we can do to support that person. But when we say what's wrong, all the kid hears is the word wrong. And they're thinking, why can I not feel like this? Why can I not be sad? Why can I not be frustrated? Why can I not be confused? Because we have used, interestingly, the wrong word. We say what's wrong. When we say what's your life number, that is a completely neutral question. And I think we have to do a better job of asking neutral questions so that we can open up the lines of communication, open up the lines of dialogue. So when I'm meeting with a student and I'm noticing some sort of emotion, whether it's happiness, sadness, frustration, neutrality, I don't say, hey, what's wrong? I will say, hey, what's your life number on a scale of 1 to 10? And then I listen. I listen for a number. And if they give me a 10, I do not say, woo, a 10, yeah, tell me why. I stay neutral. If a student gives me a 1 out of 10, I don't say, oh, no, what's wrong? No, gross, a 1, why? I stay neutral. Regardless of the number that a student gives me, my only question back, and this is question number 2, is, tell me more about that. In other words, tell me why you said a 10. Tell me why you said a 1. Tell me why you said a 5. Oftentimes, it's difficult for our students when asked the question, hey, what's wrong? Hey, what are you feeling? It's difficult for them to come up the right words. It's easier for them to quantify an emotion at first and then unpack that a little bit later. So question number 1 is, hey, what's your life number? They give you that number, and question number 2 is, tell me more about that. Why did you pick that number? And then we listen. We listen. You know that really trendy thing, we listen and we don't judge? That's what we do. And if you're somebody who is often told to fix your face because you can't hide emotions, this is a great opportunity for you to fix your face. If we want true, genuine conversation, true, genuine feelings, we can show that we are listening by giving nonverbal affirmations, by shaking our head and saying, I'm hearing you. We can tilt our head to one side saying, like, I'm in this, okay? Maybe I'm showing empathy. Maybe I'm showing compassion. But the moment that we start showing visual cues of what they are saying, that could inadvertently actually start to control the conversation. Because kids, while they don't always communicate well, have developed the skills to read nonverbal cues in a big way. And so if we start showing that we are feeling sad, a very empathetic student could start to steer the conversation in a different direction because they don't want you feeling sad, especially if they are your trusted adult. If you are the trusted adult for that kid and you start showing a face of like, oh my gosh, this is terrible, they could, again, consciously or subconsciously, steer in a different direction. And so what we need to do a better job of being aware of is asking neutral questions and having neutral responses to keep the conversation flowing. Now you might be thinking, Monica, this feels a little heartless. I want them to know that I'm feeling sad, or I want them to know that I'm feeling excited. You know what we can do? Is we can repetitively say, uh-huh, I hear you. Uh-huh, thank you for sharing that. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate how open you are being right now. Those are powerful comments to the responses of our powerful questions. It absolutely goes hand in hand. These are really important relationship building things. And in fact, what I want to do is tell you a little bit about a 21-day relationship building opportunity that is coming up in March. During the month of March, I'm actually doing a 21-day fun, flexible, virtual PD called 180 Days of Awesome Relationships, where for 21 days, me and fellow teachers just like you across the country are gathering to earn up to 15 hours worth of PD credit in a virtual setting where we are focusing on building stronger connections with staff and students. Strategies just like the ones I'm talking about in this episode are going to be unpacked on a deeper level, and we are going to dive into solutions, strategies, lessons, activities that you can do to truly deepen the relationships that you have in your classroom and in your hallways. I am telling you, this 21-day course is going to be an incredible way for you to find those little moments of awesome that are happening in your school, and they are happening with staff and students on a daily basis. And sometimes we just need small tweaks to the already powerful things that we are trying to build even better relationships and to boost the climate and the culture of our staff and also within the walls of our classrooms. If you are interested in learning more about the 180 Days of Awesome Relationships course, you can go to monicagenta.com/courses. That's monicagenta.com/courses to learn more and get signed up. Not only is it fun and flexible, but you can earn up to 15 hours worth of official PD credits in this course. I would love to celebrate awesome with you during the month of March. You can go to monicagenta.com/courses, or I'm going to put a direct link for that in the show notes. Now, at this point, we have two of the four questions. We have, tell me, what is your life number? We have, tell me more about that, or why did you pick that number? But I want to tell you about the other two really powerful questions. Now, I want to say, with the life number thing, depending on the age of your students, life number is a very broad thing. For some students, depending on their emotional maturity and their emotional IQ, and also simply their age, you might want to break that down, okay? For a lot of students, this is a powerful strategy to say, all right, let's just talk about what's your friend's life number. What's your at-home life number? What's your grades life number? What's your fun life number? We can chunk that appropriately to gather some extra context if students are kind of struggling with the open-endedness of that question, okay? But let's say a student says that they're having a level 2 day, 2 out of 10. And we say, okay, tell me why you picked that number. And they give just a little bit of context. Here's the third most powerful question that we can ask. Do you want to unpack that now, never, or later? I want to say that again. One of the most powerful follow-up questions that we can ask after a student shares something is, do you want to unpack that now, never, or later? The reason why that is an incredibly powerful follow-up question is, for some students, what they might have shared with you was already incredibly vulnerable. They have already stepped pretty far outside of their comfort zone just to give you a snippet of what they're feeling. And for some students, once they get that emotional ball rolling, they want to share more right then, right now. They don't want to stop the momentum. And so they're saying, yeah, let's keep talking about this. For some students, it's a never. I just wanted to get that off my chest. I said what I said. I'm glad I said it. Now I'm good. For some students, it's a later. I am already feeling emotionally overloaded. This is an important conversation that I want to have, but I don't know if I have the capacity to continue to have it right now. Now, I want to give a huge asterisk if a student says, and I never want to unpack that again. This is a hard reminder, but an absolutely essential reminder that if a student says they never want to unpack it again, but it was something that we need to unpack because of the depth or the safety of a student, sometimes we need more information. I hate to have to say this because this is just something that as teachers, we wish didn't have to be a thing, but a really important reminder, whether you are a new teacher or have been in the profession for a very long time, sometimes the thing that a kid shares as a mandated reporter, we have to unpack that with children and family services. We have to maybe talk that through with our school counselor or our school resource officer or our principal or our superintendent. Just because a student says that they never want to unpack that again doesn't mean that our job is done. As a teacher, as an educator in whatever role that you're in, depending on the depth of what a student shares, we can't just end the conversation, but there are safe ways that we can communicate that with a kid. So if they say never, and you know that, like, we can't just close the book on this, you can say things like, I hear you. I can imagine that that was really hard to share, and I'm thankful that you shared it. I'm glad that this is a safe space for you. I totally hear you that you don't want to say anything more, but my number one job as your teacher, as your principal, as your school counselor, whatever the role is that I keep kids safe, and that includes you. And so what I need to do is make sure that I am doing everything that I can do, and that might mean that I need to have this conversation with another adult to keep you safe and to come up with a plan. I want to keep the trust here, so I'm not doing this behind your back, but I need to have this conversation, and I might need to come back to you to get more information, right? So that's an important piece to this, because sometimes kids just want to talk about how they made the basketball team, and they're 10 out of 10, and they're so excited to play a new sport and make new friends, right? Awesome. 90% of the time, those are likely the things that kids are sharing with you. But there's a large percent of the time, and unfortunately, that percentage of the time is growing in our society, where it is deeper. It is more difficult. It does involve some drama with friends or trauma at home that we have to take it a step further. And that brings us to question number four. The fourth question that I always ask students when I feel like the conversation is wrapping up is this, and don't skip this question. Is there anything else that you want to say right now or tell me? Such an incredible, powerful question. Because oftentimes, as educators, as adults, we have opened up the lines of communication and we have created this really safe place for kids, and we have had just really powerful breakthroughs, and we think we've got it. We think we've gotten to the bottom of whatever it is. We understand now why that emotion exists in them. And then we ask that final question, is there anything else that you want to say or share? And then they drop another bomb. Or they say something completely different that brings us in a whole different direction. Or they say something that they had going on in their heart or their head that wasn't on your radar. And it brings things to a new light. That's awesome. That's important. That's an essential piece to a great conversation. In fact, this just happened with some of my students the other day. I thought we had had a great conversation and I thought it was exactly what the student needed. And then they said to me, can I actually share one other thing with you? And they had a smile on their face when they did it. So I thought they were switching gears. And they unloaded a completely different scenario that wasn't on my radar at all. In fact, it was the thing that changed everything about why we were even talking in the first place. It was that context. It was that clue. It was that connection. And I'm like, no way. There it is. I think as adults, we have to be very careful because oftentimes we go into conversations with a perceived or a predicted thought in mind, and that steers the conversation. The reason why these four questions are so freaking important and so freaking essential is because they are open-ended that can take out any kind of perceived notion or, honestly, maybe some bias that we don't even know that we have. And it takes us to a place where the kid can control the narrative from their viewpoints. And I want to remind you of this. Facts and feelings are different. A lot of times when you are asking these kinds of questions, you're going to get feelings, not facts. And that's okay. That's okay. Oftentimes, kids will say, that person hates me. That's a feeling. That person hates me is a feeling. It might seem like a fact to that kid. And I think that's okay sometimes. Let us be cautious to not immediately correct a feeling. We're like, well, that's just not true. That's not allowing that student or that adult to truly feel the thing. Sometimes we need to unpack the feeling, get it off of our chest before we can actually take a deep breath, de-escalate, and see the fact for what it's worth. And I think that's a really important thing to just highlight. Overall, I want you to know that when we are trying these things, it's going to feel clunky. And I know for a lot of you, you're like, girl, I'm a classroom teacher. When am I ever going to have time to have these conversations? Maybe that's another episode. I've got a strategy called coffee candy conversations. In fact, that's an entire element of the 21-day course called 180 Days of Awesome Relationships. We dive into here's how you do it. Here's when you do it. Because I know that a lot of teachers right now are feeling like, I'm not a counselor. I'm not a social worker. I'm not a school psychologist. How are we supposed to unpack all of these SEL needs for our students? And I hear you. I get it. Time is a huge component, but there are some strategies and some solutions to actually maximize time as classroom teachers to have these important conversations. If right now you are feeling understaffed as a district, I think especially in small districts, support staff is way lower than it ever has been historically. And so while it might not be our role to have these conversations on a daily or weekly basis, we understand that we're having them. We can't avoid them. So how can we do it even better? That's why I wanted to share these four questions with you. And that's why I also want to invite you to participate in the 180 Days of Awesome Relationship course that's happening in March. It's focused on the relationship components of being a teacher in a school with staff and students. Because I want to tell you right now, the four questions that I just talked about, not only are they good for students, they're good for adults. They're good for your teacher pals. They are good for your spouse or significant other. These are really powerful tools that we can use with humans of all ages and all abilities and all relationship levels. And so that's why I'm excited to share these with you, and also just remind you that registration for the 180 Days of Awesome Relationship course is open. You can get signed up at monicajensen.com/courses. I hope that you are excited to try some of these questions with staff and students. And if there's anything I can do to support you outside of this episode, don't hesitate to reach out. I want to thank you so much for listening to the This Teacher Life podcast, where new episodes drop every single Sunday night, so you're ready for your Monday morning commute to school or home from school. But most importantly, I want to thank you for living this teacher life.